Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now back in the house. I am your host, Teron Davenport. You are talking with TD. Another opportunity to talk shop. Definitely looking forward to this. We have a solid show for you today. Emory Hunt, football game plan, CBS Sports coming on to go over what he saw at Titans practice on Wednesday. Got David James over here making this thing happen, hitting the switches.
Yes, sir.
We're going to keep this thing rolling. And as always, Run TMC. We're going to get into that. What we're going to do first and foremost, though, I want to open up with just a little bit of conversation about the quarterback position. I think that's something that we should hit on with Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, Logan Woodside. These are all guys that are just working to make this Titans passing game go. And I think when you look at Ryan Tannehill, he's actually had a solid start to camp. Now, on Wednesday, he did throw an interception. He was kind of rushed. I forget who it was that had pressure, but somebody had pressure up the middle. He was rushed, and he forced a throw across the middle, and Devin White picked it off, and it probably would have been a pick six. But there were some good plays with Ryan Tannehill, and the thing that I like with Ryan Tannehill is that he's continuing to push the football down the field. That's something he said he wanted to carry over from going against his own defense, right? Because that's what they were doing to Racy McMath. Even Treylon Burks a few times, you know, they've found a way to take the deep shots, and that's exactly what they did against the Buccaneers defense. You saw Racy McMath go up and get one. You saw Treylon Burks catch, you know, a long catch and run, and it was outstanding. So we're going to continue to see that, and that's something that we'll have to watch as that continues to work. I'm excited about, you know, what they're able to do. So that's that. Now, as far as Malik Willis is concerned, you know, that's something that he continues to be a work in progress. And I think we have to recognize that fact that he is someone who is not ready to go out there on the field and lead the offense now. And we've seen that. It's been proven. But as QB coach Pat O'Hara said, it's a daily operation, a 1% everyday improvement. And that's what they're looking to do. For Willis, in my opinion, the biggest thing, and he spoke about it as well as Pat O'Hara, getting the lower body to match up with the eyes. Whereas a lot of times you'll see him working through his progressions and he'll see it, but he has to get his feet caught up to where he could get in position to make the throw when he sees it. And that disconnect, it's causing him to be late on a few plays. And that's one thing that we saw on Wednesday during the hurry-up period. Ball on 25, got a minute and 30 to go. You need a field goal. And there was an opportunity to hit Cody Hollister on a deep crossing route. And all he had to do was he had to throw it with a little bit of anticipation. He didn't throw the football at all. He saw Hollister coming open. But he didn't throw the football. If he would have, as soon as Hollister crossed that left hash, because he was running left to right, as soon as he crossed the left hash, if he throws it down the field to where, like, towards the outside, towards the goalpost on the right, that will allow him to run away from the defense and get the big completion. And that's exactly what you mean when you say throw with anticipation. So he needs to be able to do that. I think there's a balance that he has to find, too, whereas – and he admitted it. You know, you don't want to use your legs as a default. And Mike Vrabel said they want him to be an athlete. But when there's an opportunity to make a big play in the passing game, you got to take advantage of it. And that's something he didn't do on that play in which Mike Vrabel pulled him. Because, and we're talking about the one against the Ravens, right? He had a 17-yard gain. You know, on the surface, hey, man, that's a good play. But the thing is, get the ball out of your hands and give your playmakers an opportunity to make a play with the football. You had the play action, 26, which was Geno Stone. He came up before the snap. He started creeping up. And you had the play action, and he kind of stayed there because of the run fake. And Des Fitzpatrick had the quick in-breaking route, basically just went where Stone vacated. The play action, pull it and throw it right there. That should be a completion. That's a quick throw. That's what you saw A.J. Brown score a lot of touchdowns on from Ryan Tannehill. That has to happen. Or on the opposite side, if you look to his left, Treylon Burks was open on a seam route. So this is an example of, okay, you know what? Yeah, you can make plays with your legs, and you want to do that. And I say we because I'm speaking like as if I was the coach, right? So we want to see you make plays with your legs. We want to see you make dynamic plays, but if the throw is there, take it. And that's something that he is still balancing. And I think it's going to come with time. He just has to be able to get rid of that football when he sees it. See it, believe it, rip it. That's the big thing. And that was something with Marcus Mariota, but, I mean, obviously this was way later down the line as opposed to your first game as a pro. Now, on Wednesday, as I mentioned with the Cody Hollister's throw, he struggled a little bit to be able to, you know, throw the football with anticipation and just get rid of it. And after practice, he has said that the situation was he saw some two-minute looks defensively that he hadn't seen before. And that's something else you're going to happen as a younger player. Now, when you have that, you have to be able to process it, right? Okay, I could recall this look at this time. This time, I'm going here with it. You know what I mean? To be able to see it, and then the next time you diagnose what it is, recognize it, and then go the right way with the football. That's something that he has to be able to do. So there's a lot that he still has to work with. But again, it's a work in progress. And I'm not here to say that he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying that. But I'm not here to say that he for certain isn't going to be a starter. But I will say this. There are traits. You look at how he was able to slide to his right a little bit, step up in the pocket, and deliver a throw from the left hash outside the numbers on the right to Mason Kinsey for a 19-yard gain. That's something that gives you hope. Like, hey, look, wait a minute. This guy could end up being something. A really good throw to Racy McMath. Yeah, I know the safety was – the safety did exactly what the play was designed to make him do because you had the dig route underneath and you had the other route, the outbreaking route, the deep route by Racy McMath over top. And the safety's like, okay, this guy's coming open. Let me come down on that. But he forgot that over top you have a speedster running, you know, right down the seam, and Willis hit that deep route. So there's a lot there to unpack with Willis. We'll continue to do that. But, again, it's way too early to say that he can't be a starter. And, you know, I messaged Jarrett Stillman because he said he doesn't see Willis starting in 3 years. But he wasn't able to give me concrete reasons. I just gave you a couple throws that make you say, hey, look, you know, and we could even go further back. I mean, there was a throw with anticipation to Des Fitzpatrick in practice 2 weeks ago where, you know, Fitzpatrick, as soon as he bent inside that hash mark, that ball was right there and he caught it and he just kept running. That's throwing with anticipation. I mean, we could go to, you know, hash to sideline outbreaking route to Terry Godwin. I mean, the arm strength is definitely there. The playmaking ability is there. We could look at the touchdown run that he had. It's very clear that he can make plays, but you want him to also consistently do what this offense asks him to do, and that's make plays with your arms and your legs. So we'll see how that continues to work. As we look at the receivers, you know, that's just something that continues to be a work in progress as well, right? Because you got Robert Woods coming back. You can tell the left leg is dragging a little bit, but he is a guy that I think is poised to have a pretty productive season, but you just have to keep working him in there and getting him more reps and getting him more comfortable with that leg. Treylon Burks, he actually had a solid day on Wednesday. He did go in the building with a trainer, so that's going to be something to monitor over the next couple of days, how that works, if he plays in the game on Saturday. But I definitely think you know, he's starting to show signs. He had a one-handed catch, really a beautiful one in one-on-ones, and then he made a deep catch in team period as well. So those are definitely things to grow on. Mason Kinsey had a really good day, actually, on Wednesday, and just watching him. We'll talk to Emory Hunt about that a little bit later. But it was really tough for the Bucs DBs to get their hands on him, and that's always a good sign for a receiver. You want to be able to make guys miss and be untouchable, right, even within your routes, in addition to along at the line of scrimmage. So definitely good job by him. Caleb Farley is another guy. Now, for Farley, the big thing is being able to come out of the pedal. And, you know, we talk about the left leg dragging a little bit for Robert Woods. A lot of people forget Farley had an ACL in October. So there's still time that he has to work back from. Now, are the expectations high for him still? Absolutely. That's what Anthony Midget says. But I don't know that he's fully back, because I remember watching Virginia Tech tape, and he did a really good job as far as transitioning out of the pedal and then breaking on the football and just using that length to knock it away. And it's something he did a couple times. You know, we've seen him do it a couple times in camp. But they're finding ways to go against him with the curls and comeback. So I'm just going to continue to watch that, just him settle in comfort level-wise. In the meantime, you got Roger McCreary bumping in there, our left corner, you know, and working some nickel. So there are some opportunities for those guys as a secondary as a whole. So I'm looking forward to watching also how Lonnie Johnson fits in the mix. And Kevin Byard had complimented him for getting, man, one practice, one interception. Now, granted, Shaim Carter made an excellent play, batted the ball up, but way to be Johnny on the spot, Lonnie Johnson, coming off of the safety position and catching that tip pass. So it's day one. I would say the Titans had the advantage, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Jeffrey Simmons and the way, I mean, this guy.
A monster.
He's ready to go. You know, I watched him in one-on-ones, you know, pass rushing situations. The bull rushes there, I saw him use really good hand, you know, against Aaron Stinney. He's tough to stop. And he was able to you know, really stuff the run. T.R. Tartt dropped the anchor a couple times against the run, too. So it's a pretty good opportunity for this defense to take a step up. I would say Arrow is absolutely pointing up for the defense, kind of sideways for the offense. We'll see how things continue to develop. But I just wanted to unload a couple things about a few positions. We're going to go to a break. Come right back. Run TMC.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, DMT. For you. Fresh.
Oh, wait a minute. Not yet. Not yet. Turn that back up. Them strings. Yeah, we need that. We need that. That's part of this now. All right, here we go. The music fades. The lights dim. And now, starting at shooting guard for your Miami Heat from USC, Harold Miner.
And now, the brother of Eddie Murphy, Johnny Murphy.
What the five fingers say to the face? Slap!
Man, what's up, my guy? How you doing, man?
Hey.
Also, man, it was good to see you in practice the other day, man. It was awesome, man. Just to watch you in your element, man.
Yeah, it was definitely good. I get around, man, going from the O-line to the D-line to the receivers, running backs, back to the D-line. Woo. You got to get it all, man, when you're a one-man crew like this.
Absolutely, but you do a great job, man. And I saw some good stuff out there, man. I know we're going to get into it, but them wide receivers, man, I'm going to tell you something. Kyle Phillips.
Yeah.
Woo! If the quarterback's looking at you on every third down, he trusts you, big dog.
Exactly. And that's something that, you know, we've been talking about for some time now, and it is the truth, man. He is a guy that has just stood out, and you see he's earned, as a rookie, a fifth-round pick at that, he's earned significant reps in the slot working with Ryan Tannehill. That's definitely a thing, and he's made himself into what I would call a slot machine. You look at the two-minute period, you know, rush, hurry-up period. On Wednesday, Tannehill went his way a couple times, so it's clear, you know, he's a guy that has earned his trust. Some of the other things that you got from practice when you were out there, I guess we could start with the receivers. We don't have to get too detailed because we always dig deep into that. I want to dig into some other things, but what were your thoughts on the receivers that you saw overall?
The improvement of Racy McMath. You know, when he came from LSU, everybody talked about him not running routes and him, you know, not getting out of his cuts. But I watched him in some of the drills, man. He's getting better and better. He's improving. And it just shows you that Rod Moore, the wide receiver coach, is really making him pay attention to details. When I say pay attention to details, understanding how to use your feet, understanding how to have chest over you, he's understanding how to lie with your eyes, and watching him do his drills, you can tell that he can be something potent in this offense.
Not a disagreement for me, I'll tell you that much.
He's big, too.
Yeah,
man.
He is big. He is big, and he has the ability to run by corners. I think the big thing with him is being able to learn how to throttle down and work his way back to the quarterback. Yes. That's what's going to sell other things for him. So, you know, more opportunities. So that's something that I'll be looking at. And then as you go from Racy McMath, anyone else in the group, you know, of interest to you?
I mean, I like Dez a little bit. I like, who else is there? I mean, everybody know who Roberts was. I mean, he's doing this thing. I mean, just collectively, I like what I see because, you know, when I say this, and this might not make sense, but everybody's starting to look like each other. And when I say that everybody's running the same routes, everybody's doing the same thing collectively as a group, because if you have one guy does this good, one guy does that good, that's great and everything, but collectively as a group, everybody's starting to look like polished receivers. You know, that was a concern coming in, you know, into the year. They don't have no receivers. There's no depth. There's, you know, Robert Woods is the only one that has experience. All those things. But now you're starting to see these guys becoming great route runners. I'm not saying great. I said great, but I mean getting better at running routes. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
So the Logan Woodside performance against the Ravens, let's just get into that a little bit. He had the two interceptions. You know, a lot of times it's real easy to blame the quarterback. I'll explain one and you explain the other. You'll explain the Kinsey one. I'll explain the one Godwin's way. Now, I'll preface that with saying this. Logan Woodside shouldn't have thrown the football. But
100%.
I will also add a caveat. You can't confuse your quarterback. Right? You get up the field. You make an inside move. You don't go inside and outside and back inside. You have to commit. What decision you make, you have to commit to that so that way he knows the course on which to throw the football. In other words, if you get inside, get on track and stay there as opposed to going back inside, because you can't make him unsure of where you're going. And I think that in itself caused Woodside to take less off of the football because he couldn't throw it there as confidently knowing that, you know, where he was going to be. So in my opinion, that interception, it was on Woodside, but I think Godwin shares responsibility for that because, again, as a receiver, once you commit, you can't acquit.
Yep. Absolutely, man. And the one that I saw, the interception that I saw, I think it's on both guys. It's on Logan Woodside and also it's on Kinsey. When I say Logan Woodside, he's late with the football. You can't be late with the football in this league. That's number one. And then number two, with Kinsey, you know, when you're running a dig route, you can't fade away from the ball. When you fade away from the ball, the defensive back is breaking towards the ball, and he didn't protect the football. So, you know, as a receiver, that's wide receiver 101. I always got to come back to the ball. I always got to protect the football. When I say protect the football, that means coming back to the football. I know it's a dig route, and you're coming across the field, But still, you can't fade up and let the DB underneath undercut it, and that's why it was both guys' fault.
Malik Willis, let's get your take on him.
I mean, you can tell that he's kind of raw and he's kind of afraid to make a mistake, and I say that respectfully because when you're afraid to make a mistake, you're going to do what's familiar to you. The reason why Mike Vrabel took him out the game is because he wouldn't throw to the open receiver. And the reason why he wasn't throwing to the open receiver is because he didn't feel comfortable throwing it to him because he felt like he wasn't open. So what did Malik Willis do? He did what he does that made him be make him be familiar. What did he do? He took off and he ran. He made a touchdown. The touchdown is great. The scrambling is great. But at the end of the day, if you don't throw to the open wide receiver, you continuously running, defenses are going to find you out.
When you're watching joint practices, let's say this opportunity to go against the Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. I asked Kevin Byard about the receivers that they're facing, right? Granted, listen, Mike Evans is not practicing. Chris Godwin is not practicing. But you do have some smaller guys. They're not bigger names, but, you know, you got some smaller guys. How much do you think that difference makes for these DBs getting to see those guys as opposed to the Titans roster of, you know, 6'2 and up receivers? How much of a good change of pace do you think that is for them?
I mean, just imagine going against three or four Phillips. I mean, that's what you're going against. You got quicker guys, guys that are quick at the line of scrimmage. If you look at, you know, Burks and Racy McMath and, you know, Dez, you know, Fitzpatrick, all those guys, those are bigger receivers that don't have the quickness at the line of scrimmage. But now you're going against guys that are 5'8", 5'9", that are quicker with releases. They make quicker moves and getting out of their cuts quicker. That's going to make the defensive back in the back end even better because even though their wide receivers aren't big, I know those other guys are out, but it still makes those guys have to change directions and cover the receivers and make sure they knock balls down and make sure they're in coverage. So even though they're not going against the big guys, it's still making them have to work, and that's what you want to do as a defensive back.
What do you make of the Titans' cornerbacks? What you've seen?
Oh, you know, you already know who I like. Christian Fulton has been solid. I was watching him in practice today when he was going against Julio Jones. Oh, he blanked him like a quilt.
Like a glove?
Like a glove. Yeah. And it just shows you that Christian Fulton is playing like a veteran. I'm not saying he's there yet. I'm not, you know, crowning him right already. But Jones ran like a little outside stem. Mm-hmm. Immediately Christian Fulton sealed because all he knew over. That if he did an outside stem, he's not going deep. It just shows you, I'm studying film, it just shows you that I'm being familiar with the things that are going on. So I think he's doing well, McCrary's doing well. The only guy that's really, really struggling right now is because he was hurt is, you know, Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley is a step late, and the reason why he's a step late, I'm not saying that he doesn't have confidence in his ability, I just think he doesn't have confidence in coming off the knee injury. So if he can get past that, I think the back end is going to be good. And we already know about Byard. Byard's just that dog. He controls the back end. He makes plays, and, you know, he's communicating. So I think overall the secondary is very, very good.
Yeah, and I put Amani Hooker in that mix,
Amani
too.
Hooker,
you know,
yeah.
He definitely. But back to Christian Fulton, one of the things I really like that I'm starting to see from him is that confidence, but also just that understanding, like, yo, man, I'm that dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I really like that because I talked to him after practice on Wednesday. And I just said, man, you know, I saw you and Julio over there talking. You seem to get the best of him on a couple of reps. You let him know. And he was like, yeah, I mean, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that he said was that he was happy to get work against the Buccaneers receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But he was disappointed that Godwin and Evans weren't there because as somebody who wants to be the best, he wants to go against the best.
Right.
And he said, but I dominated their twos and threes.
Oh absolutely.
So I like that. I like that he, you know, that ability, because that's what, you know, your top corners, that's what they do, man. Like they have that mouth on them and that confidence. And it just seems like that's just a prerequisite for being a top-level corner.
Yeah, but you said this, you know, a while ago. You said he's one of those DBs you want to fight in practice.
Oh, that's McCreary. That's McCreary.
No, I'm just saying in general, you want one of those guys on your team.
Yeah.
I mean, McCreary, but just like, I don't know if you remember Chris Dishman.
Yes.
I fight Chris Dishman every practice.
He was at, oh, you could have, man, if you were there the last couple practices, y'all could have threw hands.
But here's the thing, TD, is Chris Dishman got me better. Even though I wanted to fight him, the reason why he made me better is because I had to do everything right. If my release was bad, he said, Chris, you can't do that. If I jump up and miss a pass, Chris, you got to make the play. So when I talk about fighting him, he's talking stuff. He's in my mustache. He's talking to me without a tic-tac. He just made me better, man. And he's one of those guys you want to fight and be like, man, get off me. But every day in one-on-one, he'd be like, Ohio State, come out here. And I smashed him, and you know this.
That's what he'd say to you.
No, he's like, quit playing, Chris. I'm just kidding.
All right, let's move on real quick to the trenches. Did you get a good look at the right tackle position when you were at practice?
I
know it's kinda tough because it's just like
– Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about ratings, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm going to be a little nice here. I gave my all, but I guess my all wasn't good. I'm just kidding. I just think that, man, he's struggling right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that when he came out the draft, the one thing that we were talking about is his upper body strength.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have the upper body strength in this league, you're going to get manhandled. And we saw that. The one rep that I did see is when I see Weaver just get after his mustache and just not just dominated, but he just basically took his spleen out. I mean, it was kind of like that, and I say that funny, and I say that respectfully, but if you don't have the upper body to strength, especially playing left tackle, you're going to get yourself exposed.
I'll say this, Weaver has been outstanding. He's fun to watch. You're not going to get – he's very long. You're not going to get outside of him, man. One thing he does, among other things, he sets that edge. You're not going to get outside of him.
Yeah.
You saw it in the game where the quarterback, I think it was Snoop, Huntley that tried to get outside of him and couldn't.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that's something he does. But I'll say this with Raidens. It's funny you mentioned the upper body strength. And, look, it's a mismatch any way you put it. But on Wednesday, there was a rep. Let me – I'll put it to you this way. Akiem Hicks, like, that's not – it's not a fair matchup. They had him out at, like, a five tech. And he came off that edge, and let me tell you something. A bull rush, like one I haven't seen in quite some time, and he ran Dylan Raiders over. And Raiders kind of rolled back into Tannehill, and it was bad. Tannehill was able to get rid of the ball before it happened, but, that was bad. But I will give Raiders credit. He actually did a solid job a couple times on Wednesday. Blocking, he sprung Dontrell Hilliard for a nice block or a nice run rather, but it is going to be tough for him. That upper body strength is clearly an area of concern.
I mean, it's not that you have to bench press 415 pounds, but you got to have a punch,
right?
You got to have that pow to stop the defender from having a charge,
right?
To
stand him up,
If you can't do that, then the defensive coordinators are going to be like, okay, I'm licking my chops and I'm going after that guy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You just don't want to have that, especially you know, with the receivers that the Tennessee Titans have, and they want to pass the ball, so you can't have Tannehill getting hit. So, they got to figure it out. They're going to have to. You're basically about to start the season. So is he going to be the starter? Is he going to be the kid from Ohio State? You don't know, but the guy that they put in that position has to protect Tannehill.
Exactly, the right side is.
Yep.
Just as important as the left side. You got pass
Absolutely.
Rushers coming from both of them now. So, well, hey, man, I appreciate it. We'll see what happens in this game on Saturday. I will definitely be watching that. I know you will.
Absolutely.
And, man, it's just
going
to keep rolling.
Hey, man, another thing, man, I was talking to some of my students today. They was like, man, you on that show with T. I was like, man, that's my dog. I said, best guy in America, knows this stuff, whatever, whatever. He said, man, he looks like Webster. And he looks like Gary Cole. I said, no, man, he looks like Sam Cassell. And they gave me a standing ovation because I got it right.
Oh, that's too funny. Because you did a TV spot. I forget which channel it was on, but you were on the air. And my daughter looked up and she said, hey, Daddy, isn't that the guy that when you were in Philly, he used to always try to sell the bow ties? I said, that ain't no Malcolm Jenkins.
Man, get off my phone, man.
This is Elijah Molden. I'm talking with TD.
You hear that music right there, you know one thing is following that. Emory Hunt, football game plan, CBS Sports, 24/7, does it all. I had to give you, that's become your music, man. Whenever you come on, just be ready to hear that.
Hey, that's one of the classic songs and videos in history. I don't care what genre of music, that better be in your top five.
I tell you what, if I was a coach, you know that scene where he sees her walk by and he's sitting there in the coffee shop, legs crossed, puffing on the cigarette. If I was one of the Titans coaches, that's how I would be sitting there after watching Titans practice on Wednesday. Just like Orange Juice Jones. But there's multiple reasons why. Because I think offensively and defensively, they were able to, you know, have a really outstanding day. But I wanted to bring you on specifically to talk about Malik Willis and the importance of patience and just having a better understanding of how the transition is going to take place for him. So the mic is yours. Teach us.
Well, you know what's impressive about Willis, man? He is someone that gets it. And when you're watching him at practice, and I feel like a lot of folks have to realize that we are at practice. We're not at a game or a scrimmage. We're at practice. So guys are working on things. And whatever things that they're working on, they're trying to get it done in live reps versus live reps. And for Willis, you know, talking with him after practice, it makes more sense on what we see during practice. Because we're watching, and it's like, okay, is he holding the ball too long? Like, why isn't he letting it rip or taking off? Or is he seeing it late and trying to drive it because he has the arm? But speaking with him after practice, he talked about how, you know, coach, number one, wants him to be him. He understands that he can run the football. He understands that, you know, he has great athleticism. And in the game, by all means, do what you have to do to get the first down or the touchdown. But while we're working on, you know, practice, work on trying to be a little bit more disciplined in your progressions, disciplined in your assignments and your reads, and disciplined in your decision-making. And so it kind of brings context to what we're seeing at practice, because it's human nature to watch him hold the ball and be like, wow, he's legitimately holding the football and, quote-unquote, afraid to make the throw or waiting to make the throw. But then on the flip side, he's being asked to do that while he's at practice. So in the game, when you tend to revert back to things that are natural to you, you know, yeah, the time on task of, you know, working on your footwork, marrying your footwork and your arm positioning when you're throwing the football in conjunction with you as an athlete, it'll all start to mesh and meld together, and therefore you'll be able to take those necessary steps and progressions that you see, you know, guys like your Russell Wilsons or you saw your Steve McNair take when he was at, you know, when he was with the Titans. So it makes more sense, which is why I love getting to these practices and talking to these players, because now you have that much needed context to what we're seeing.
Yeah, no, that's really good context there to add to the conversation. You're 100% right there. What impressed you about Willis, though? Like, what is it about him that makes you believe that he could be an eventual starter?
You know what, TD, man, it's really, and for us too, hopefully I could, you know, say this for you. For a lot of us, you know, former athletes, it really is about the confidence that a guy has. And some people may call it the it factor. But you like the things about Malik that you like about Jalen Hurts, where someone that just has the, you know, he's confident in his ability, and he's confident in his ability to either make the play that needs to be made. And we saw that play itself out or manifest itself in the preseason game. You know, it's funny on that short rollout pass, which almost looked like spider wire to banana, but he quickly peeled off of that when he saw those two routes on the short side of the field was going to be locked up, you know, like a head case. He's like, you know what, this is not going to work. I'm going to abandon, spin out, spin away from the pursuit, and score the touchdown.
Yeah.
And so when things like that, you always know that quarterback, one, isn't afraid of the moment, isn't afraid of pressure, will find a way to make a way. And that's more than anything that impresses me more about that position. because again, you're going to have guys that are tall, that look the part, that throw far, that got great velocity. Some guys a little bit more athletic and shifty. But do you have that confidence, or what we like to say has become a meme now? But do you have that dog in you?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Willis has that dog in him, a quiet dog in him, and that's going to carry him far.
Yeah, and I think it is a quiet dog. And the thing that I like about him is he's never up too high and never too low. Because I've talked to him after good practices, and it's always the same. Bro, I'm just out here to play football, man. I'm doing this, and I'm doing it. I really like that. And that's important as a guy who is in the huddle, right, that others are going to feed off of. So I'm glad you brought that point to life. When you flip it to the other side of the ball, so I always laugh. Because, you know, when I bring up McCrary to you, Roger McCrary, that is, you always bring up that the funny story about him and Smoke Monday and the miscommunication. And, man, I hate to see Smoke Monday out for the year. You know, he was there with the Saints. But do you go ahead and tell him that story, man, how you saw things happening there with Smoke Monday and Roger McCrary and then the big play to Jahan Dotson.
It's funny, man. It's always hilarious to see the communication out there on the field, and it shows you the smarts of Roger McCreary has, because pre-snap he's telling Smoke Monday, hey, they're stacking these receivers. If he goes inside, you go with him. If he goes, oh, I'll go with him. And if he goes outside, if this guy goes outside, you take the outside guy. Then you see Smoke Monday confirmed by shaking his head, giving the thumbs up. And as soon as the ball snaps, the guy cuts inside. Both guys go inside, and Dotson, this is running down the sideline by himself. And you can see McCreary looking like, bro, I just told you pre-snap, and you confirmed that this was about to happen. So, but it shows you the kind of smarts he has in it. And the good thing about McCreary that I really like is the fact that when you're breaking down all of these top receiver prospects for the NFL draft, and a lot of them played in the SEC, George Pickens, Jameson Williams, John Mechie, you know, Bayless Jones, you're watching these receivers and you're watching them against Auburn, and we just talked about Penn State. It's like, wow, they are all going up against Roger McCreary and they're having their worst day possible. Mekhi Polk was another one who's now with the Baltimore Ravens. So that tells me that this dude deserves to be in that upper echelon talk of, cornerback play for the NFL draft. So in my opinion, the Titans definitely got them a steal when they took him in the second round, because I saw him as a first round talent, and he's out there today just making things happen, chirping and doing what Roger McCreary does, a guy that can play inside or outside.
So it's very clear that you are very high on McCreary. What type of future do you see him this year and next year?
I really do see him as an integral part to the secondary, and it's funny because I was high on Caleb Farley last year. I was high on McCreary this year. I really like what they were able to add in Elijah Molden last season as well, and I'm a big fan of Christian Fulton. So I see him factoring into the mix for long term, just thinking big picture and expanding this past year one. I feel like he could be your starting nickel. He could be your starting boundary corner and kind of work in unison with Molden and also Farley. Both of those guys have great instincts. Great ball skills. They pressure the ball well, and they've shown the ability Farley has, at least in Molden, to take the ball away. And I feel like someone like McCreary can jump in that role. It really adds to how well the depth is there at Tennessee, because when you think about your team's base, quote-unquote, base offensive set, you're getting three wide receivers, so you better have three, quote-unquote, number one corners. And I feel like McCreary can be one of those three for this football team.
There you have it right there. Emory Hunt, football game plan. Appreciate you coming out. It was good to catch up at practice.
Always a pleasure, man. Looking forward to it in the future.
So that was Emory Hunt talking shop. Definitely a shout out to him with football game plan, CBS Sports. Be sure you're on the lookout for plenty of NFL content, college content, CFL content, high school content, XFL content, USFL content is all right there. That is your go-to spot for all football. Shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on as well. David James, appreciate you making this happen. We will talk to you guys next week. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your fine podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.